I mean, you know, it's like, might as well just forget it. You know, but hey, I'm glad you're here with us this morning. Welcome. And if you're just kind of checking Jesus out, this is a good message. If you're just kind of been checking Jesus out, this is really a good start, because what we've been doing is we've been talking about who Jesus is. In the book of books in the Bible, it's one of the Gospels, it's called, John statement that Jesus said seven times, I am. He had these seven I am statements. And we've looked at some of them already. We're only going to look at four. This is the last one we're going to look at, but there's seven of them there. We began on series is, I've been kind of putting it in the context of the story. This is preparing his disciples. He knows the future. They have no idea. He knows that shortly after he says this, he's going to get crucified. He's going to die, buried, and rise again from the grave and from the tomb. And he knows this, but they don't know this. So beginning in the 14th chapter of John, he begins to start preparing his disciples for his death. Preparing them for his departure. And so he starts outlining some things for them. And he begins that 14th chapter. And he tells them, I'm a resurrection. And then he goes on to 14:1, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so he's painting this picture for them that I'm the way. He moves on as he goes down through that 14th chapter. He begins to talk about the Holy Spirit. That I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God that's going to come and dwell. I won't be here physically anymore, but God will be here as a spirit who will dwell in you and not be just with you. That's John chapter 15. And then that 15th chapter, he comes into this idea that he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. So I begin with this question. You look at the outline. Who is the vine? I want you guys to say, who is the vine? All right, let's do that again. All right, let's see if we can do a little bit better here. Who is the vine? All right, I got a good crowd up here that knows. Jesus is the vine, all right? And we are the branches. He says this right off the top in that 15th chapter. He says, I am the true vine. If you're following along with your outline, you want to circle, so why don't you circle that word true? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I'm the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. And when he said, I'm the true vine, here's what I wanted to point out real quick. That means there may be some false vines. All right? By saying I'm the true one, there's an implication that there are some false ones. That there are some false vines. I'm going to try to get somebody to run in. Jacob, why don't you run through and on top of the Ward's in the stage one over here is my branch. Would you bring that to me, Jacob? Thanks. But he's talking about, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he says, I'm the true vine. So there's false vines out there. There's false teachings out there. And here's what's going on. As Jesus is doing this, remember I was telling you what's going on in that chapter 14 and all that? They're walking towards Jerusalem during this time. And they're walking towards Jerusalem. And guess what the disciples are arguing about? Who's the most important? Which one of us is the most important? Thank you, Jacob. See, I got me a branch, all right? And they're arguing who's the most important. And so Jesus overhears this conversation about who's the most important. And Jesus says, let me tell you who's the most important. Whoever's the most important is the one who serves the most. The servant is most important. And they get to the house. As they get to the house, they go into the house. And if you're familiar with the area, what kind of shoes have in those days, right? They had these nice leather shoes. No, they had sandals if they were lucky. So you walk through dirt all day long. You walk into the house. Well, how's your feet going to be? Anybody ever go camping? You ever get mud between your toes? You know? So they walk into the house. Somebody has to wash their feet. Well, nobody washed feet. Jesus got done. Who's the most important? Whoever serves the most? None of the 12 say, I'll wash everybody's feet. So who washed the feet? Jesus did. In this context, he's talking about serving. And they got this image. And so he says, listen, I'm the vine. You are the branches. But he says, I'm the true vine. Because see, there's false vines out there. I brought this branch in. And I got these plastic trees over here. Now, I want to take my branch and I'm going to stick it right in here. Is that going to grow? Is that going to do anything? Is anything going to happen with this branch? Because this is a false vine. It's fake. It's plastic. And it won't go anywhere. Well, there's a lot of false things we hook our lives to. You got your little outline there. I got a little S there. Why don't you write the word success there? How many people hook their life to success? If I'm just faithful and I'm successful, I will be fulfilled, right? Anybody have those images in their head? That I'm successful, that'll be fulfillment to my life. How about money? I think I had an M there. Didn't I have an M there? Yeah, how about money? Once I make enough money and I have my money, I'll be happy and I'll have a fulfilled life with my money. You know? And how about fame? You know, we want to be famous. I was really surprised. I went on the internet the other day, and they were saying, they did a survey in England and asked these teenagers, 16 and over, what did they want to be when they grow up? Oh, when I was growing up, fireman, policeman, doctor, 60-some-odd% of the kids, I want to be famous. I want to be famous. We want fame. You know, how many likes did you get? How many friends do you have? How many times have you been retweeted? You know, we want to be famous. You know, I want my YouTube, and I want everybody to watch me, and I want everybody to see me. They want to be famous. Yeah, if I'm famous, I'll be fulfilled. You know? And then I put down here, how about social status? You know, you got to dress the right way. You got to have the right shoes and the right clothes. You know, you got to have the right emblem on those clothes, you know, and you got to have the shirt with the logo on it. And, you know, and you got to, you know, I want to be cool. You know, I got to be cool. You know, and you end up being square, right? You know, and so we try to hook these things, false vines, and we wonder why we end up looking like this. You know, I put down there other, because I don't know what yours might be. You know, I'm a control freak. That one might be there for me. You know, that's just me. You know, I don't know what that might be for you, but we try to hook our life into something because we want to be fulfilled. We want our life to have meaning. We want our life to have purpose. We want something special in our life, and so we hook our life into something thinking to produce the fruit. And then we look at our lives, and it's kind of empty. And you ever feel like, anybody ever feel like this? You get up in the morning, you go to work, you come home, you eat dinner, you go to bed. You get up in the morning, you go to work, you come home, you eat dinner, you go to bed. Anybody feel like your life just runs in a circle? It just keeps going around and around. Some of you just go to school. You get up, you go to school. You get up, you go to school. You know? You just keep just going around and around, and you're going, is this all there? Anybody ever, is this all there is to life? And you're just kind of trying to figure life out. See, it's because we plug into the wrong things and we end up like this. You know? But here's what I want to tell you. If I take this branch and I put it on the true vine, I want to tell you something. Even though it's dead, yet it will live. You believe it? You believe it? Even dead, when it's hooked to the true vine, it will death. If you got your little outline, if you turn it over and you look at this verse, look at what it says. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they're what? They die. See, God can take our lives that are hooked to false vines and look dead and dry and meaningless. And we're running around in circles wondering, where's life gone? And you feel like you're on a treadmill going nowhere. And you're running this life and it looks dead, but God can take our dead lives and produce fruit. Can you guys say amen to that? You know, because that's true. God can take this dead vine and on this dead vine produce fruit. And he can do that in your life. Because see, he's God. He can resurrect things. He can make things live. See, the question is, how do we do that? You know, what do we do? And so I got some little statements right here. Why is it important to stay connected? So I put it this way. Staying connected produces fruit. This branch is going to produce nothing. Am I right? I mean, I wanted an apple. You know, give me a peach. Nothing going to come off that branch. But if it's connected to the tree, it's going to produce fruit. It will. Does it have to work at it? Does it have to ever? It will just automatically produce fruit. And we need to see that in our lives. Look at what it says. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much. Well, that. Much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When you're connected, when you abide in God, there's fruit. There's changes in your life. You're no longer the same. You're different. You're not like you were. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But praise God, I'm not what I was. You know? And that's that picture. We want fruit in our life. And what I like is here Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in chapter 14. Chapter 15, he says, I'm the vine and you're going to bear fruit. And then Paul defines that fruit for us in his letter. Paul wrote a letter to the church in Galatia and he wrote this. Look, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think there's 9 of them there. Did I get it right? All right. That's called the fruit of the Spirit. Now I'm going to ask you, how many would like to have that kind of fruit in your life? How many would like to have love and joy and peace and patience in your life? I like skipping patience because that's one up, but I can't. You know, could I just cross it out? You know, can I do, you know, Martin Luther, you know, when the great reformer, he pulled the book of James out and put it in the back of the Bible because he didn't like it. So can I just cross that one out? The kids won't let me. All right. You can't. You know, but that's a fruit that God wants to produce in us. That's the kind of fruit we want to have in our lives. But for that fruit to be produced, I've got to get connected and stay connected. I've got it to God. Look at what again it says in 15:4. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And it's not easy. You ever wrestle with this? Anybody got anger issues besides me? Anybody got anger issues? You know, you never lose your temper, right? You guys are all calm, collected. Anybody try to control your temper? Patient one. Thanks, God. He was passing that one out and didn't give it to me, so I don't have to worry about it, right? No. You know, it takes a little effort on my part. You know, I got to get connected and stay connected. And when I become more loving, do you think it can love offset patience or anger? Can love offset anger? Can peace offset anger? See, as God produces this fruit in us, and how about selfishness? You know, I want my way. My way's the right way. Your way's wrong. Just do what I say and we got it made. Anybody? Just listen to me and do what I tell you and we'll be okay. You know, selfishness. Anybody battle selfishness? You know? And we have these issues in our life and but I want to tell you, if you could stay connected to the vine, I give you this prediction. Write this down. 100% fruitfulness. You like that? If you connect to God, if you abide in God, and you connect to God, I'll give you 100% fruitfulness. Now, it's going to take time. Because I've been working on patience for a long time. And I hate to tell you, I don't think I'm going to ever get it under control. You know, when I die and go to heaven, that might be when it happens. You know, but that's what God wants. We got to stay connected. But here's the warning. Here's this one: being disconnected produces nothing. Now I want to tell you, you look at our world, and maybe you even look in your own life, and you're going, why am I so messed up? Why can't I get this thing right? Why does this always get the best of me? Why? And you wonder why. Well, here's the problem. Are you connected to God? If you disconnect from God, you are going to produce nothing. Look at what it says. I am the vine, you are the branch. Whoever abides in me bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Why don't you circle nothing? Nothing. Write zero. Write zilch. Nothing. Nothing means nothing. All right? You produce nothing apart from God. You look at our world and we wonder what's going on in America, around the world. Why can't we all just get along? Why can't we all just get along? I can tell you why. We're not all connected to God. Does it take a figure that out? Now, we as believers, we need to try to live that life. We should be better at it than the world, shouldn't we? Because we're connected to the vine. You know, look at what it says. Now, here's the great warning. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Anybody ever orchards get trimmed and they pile all the branches up, then they drive a tractor down the middle and scoop all those branches in a pile, and what do they do with those branches? They burn them. I don't know what's going to happen to this, but a very good likely chance it's going to get burnt. You know? Because it's nothing. See, you got to get connected. You got to get plugged in. Because if you don't get plugged in, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're judgmental. You look at other people and you start saying, Did you see what so-and-so did? I'd never do that. Anybody? You know? He had an affair. Can you believe that? Then you go home and look at porn. All right, see, he's got a problem, not me. You know? Or we get tied up into... Here's one thing for me. I had preacher's kids. Anybody know about preacher's kids? They're the best kids, right? Why are you guys laughing? Because you know my kids. You know? Kids, here's one of the rules I had. I trust my kids, but I never put anything past my kids. Here's what happened one time. I'm not going to tell you which one of my kids. You might be able to figure out which one. You think, just so you know. Over here at the school one day, I'm walking through the school. I was on the parents club and all that, and some girl just screams, blood-curdling scream. And they're supposed to be in class. And so I said, hey, let's go to the office. So there's a boy and a girl out there. And I mean, it was just, they were going at each other. So I take them to the office, and they go into the office. I said, I don't know what's going on, but they're out in the hall fighting. So I go home. Later on that afternoon, I get a phone call. It appeared somebody had stuck something on the girl, and she took it off and stuck it on the boy because he thought she did it, and they got it all done. But it happened to be, guess who started it? My daughter. I never put anything past my kids. You know, but see, my kids are perfect. They're preacher's kids. You know, anybody ever feel that way? My kids, you know, your kids, I don't, but my kids, you know. And I'd never do that. Here's two things. I am capable of anything. Did you know that? That's why I have those rules about me getting in cars with other women and stuff. I have those rules because I know I'm capable of sinning. There's a nature in me that wants to do things that is not good. You know? And we need to understand that. You know, I like to say, I tell you, there's a lot of statements I learned as a young Christian that I value today. And this one is one of them. There by the grace of God, go I. Not connected to that vine, it's easy to become judgmental. Anybody agree with that one? You know, it's easy to become critical of other people if I don't stay connected. So here's the questions I want to deal with real quick this morning is, how do you stay connected? How do you stay connected to God? Because if I want that fruit in my life, I want a life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Don't ask me to quote all nine. I have it memorized, but you get in front of people and try to say it, okay? You know? Try to get out that in my life. I really do. I want to be that kind of person. So how do I do that? How can I make this fruit? How can I stay connected to God? Now, some of you are doing a really good job. You're here this morning. Is this a good way to start? You know, you find a local church that you can tie into with some fellow believers and Christians that's preaching the Word of God, and you tie into that group. That kind of gives you a foundation to stay connected. Anybody on board with that one? You know, can you read your Bible? You know, that'll keep you connected. You know, can you pray? You know, that'll keep you connected as you pray, you know, and you spend time with God. Can you go out and sit on the beach over here on the West Coast and watch the sunset and see the hand of God? Anybody? You know? Go to Hawaii, sit around on the beaches. Somebody else is going soon, too. I can't remember who else. You know? And you see the hand of God. How many have been, you go camping, you sit there by a lake, and you just kind of see God? And you just kind of feel there has to be a God that just, you know? And it just, and you can feel connected to God. You know, you go out and have a soda or a cup of coffee with a Christian brother or a Christian friend, and you just have that great conversation, and you just feel connected to God. Anybody? You know, and so there's some good ways, and there's some good principles there. But Jesus says this as he went on, and I want to encourage you, that's what you do. But kind of the foundation for those is resting on this. Look at what it says here, 15:10 of John. It says, do what Jesus says, if you're filling out your outline. Do what Jesus says. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see it? How do you stay connected? You walk with God, living by his principles, by his use, by his teachings. I mean, anybody remember when you were a child and you did something wrong and you just dreaded going home? Anybody? You know? You knew what was going to happen when you got home? You know, because you see, with God, it's not like that. You're walking with him. You're connected to him. And you're abiding in him. And when you do, you're going to follow his saying. I found a great, Francis Chan is a preacher, does some great things. I found a little illustration he used as he talked about his children. Maybe some of us as parents, you ever seen your kid to clean a room? Anybody ever tell your kid to go clean a room? Or maybe you remember when you were told to go clean the room, right? I like what he said here. It says, I love the way Francis Chan illustrates this. When he talks about it, it's like a parent who asks his kid to go clean their room. Kid leaves and comes back. Did you clean your room? I memorized what you said about cleaning the room. I memorized what you said, and I memorized. Clean your room. Well, that's great. But did you clean your room? I got tattooed right here on my arm in Hebrew. What you said to me, clean my room. So I could be reminded, and everybody would know, I should clean my room. Yeah, but did you clean your room? I got four friends together, and we went to a coffee shop, and we talked about what it means when you got to clean your room. We studied the word clean in Greek, and it means kleno. To like clean in haste and clean with much fever, fortitude. Yeah, but did you clean your room? Oh, we went to a conference, and we talked about what it meant to clean your room. And then somebody told us how to clean our room more effectively. Did you clean your room? Anybody ever feel like that? You know, you think God's ever saying that to us? You know, I've studied all your word, God. I memorized all these scriptures, God. I've tattooed your word on my arm, Philippians 4:13. I don't have it there, okay? God, I went to a conference and learned how to. You know, God, I said in that conference the church had just 2 weeks ago, how to work with children. Did you clean your room? Did you do anything with it? You ever think about that? You know, I love that illustration. You know, I memorize God's word. I do all that. But am I keeping his commandments? Am I following him? I want to stay connected. I got to follow him. I got to connect to him. You know? And that's the challenge for us. And I want to encourage us as we do this and as we go through this. Are we going to clean our room? You know, are we going to get involved? Are we going to do something? You know, that's a challenge. And I want to encourage you, you know, as we serve God, are you connected? You're here this morning. You're trying to get connected. That's good, right? You know, you read your Bible. That's good. But are you obeying? Are you plugged in? Are you involved? You know, it's one thing to come and sit. It's another thing to get involved. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can be kind of tangent. You know, I'm kind of here as it's spinning. I'm close to it, but I'm not in the spin. See, I'm going to put some pressure on you this morning, all right? I'm going to tell you. You know, I want a quality children's program in our church. I want young family. You know, we got three babies coming. Matter of fact, young families in our church just had a baby last week. For those who don't know, Josh Maselli had the Monique had the baby. Josh didn't have the baby. I better get that right. All right? They had their baby last week. And we got three others in our church right now. You know, and I want right now, we're going to need somebody taking care of bed babies because we've already got four or five kids in the nursery. And then we need somebody in children's church. We need some people in Awana. Now, I could tell you all sorts of, we're going to have a block party out here. Come, write this down. July 8th. July 8th. A block party. Right here. We're going to have a trailer, bounce house. We're going to give snow cones, hot dogs. I don't know what all we're going to do out here. I'm connected, God, but I'm not going to that. They don't need my help. It's going to start at 11. You know what time you guys need to be there? 9. Because we got to set up. Yeah, God, I'm going to clean my room. I memorized it, God. July the 9th. Oh, wait, it's July the 8th, God. I got it right now. Yeah, God, I know they need children, but that's not my gift. I'm going to tell you, it's not my gift. But I had that conference. I went home and went to bed, okay? I did. I mean, those kids, I think I had 8. Where's Evie at? We had, you know, she came in there with me. I was toast when I was done. But I'm going to tell you, I love those kids. It is so much fun. I think it's fun having these kids sit right here. They give me more encouragement than all you guys put together. Yeah. But see, God says, keep my commandments. You know, God, I'm just hanging around. I know there's no fruit hanging on me, God, but God, I'm here. I'm not connected, but I'm here. Yeah. Did I break it? See, that's what happened. You don't get connected, you're going to get broken. All right? Yeah. You ain't going to produce no fruit, you know? See, I want to encourage you. Are you going to say yes to God? Are you going to say yes? Do what God says. I tell people all the time, I became a Christian at 17. I feel God called me to the ministry at 19. You know what I said when he first called me? The first time, I said yes. But you know what? Here's what I say now. If I've known what it involved being a pastor and what it took to be a pastor, when God asked me at 19, would I be a pastor, I probably would have said no. It would probably take me some time to say yes. It's like, okay, God, you got to convince me. I don't think I want to get into that deal. But I'm glad I said yes out of ignorance. I like what one of the guys said at one of our youth camps, state youth conference. He said, say yes to God, then say, God, what do you want me to do? I think that's the best way. Yes. Now, where do you want me to go? So here's my challenge for you this morning. If you're just coming in here and sitting here, get off your and do something. I'll let you fill in the blank. I can't say it while I'm up here. All right? Get involved. Now, don't sit there and watch this thing spin over here and say, oh, God, I'm connected, and you're not. Yeah. You want fruit in your life? You want joy, peace, and love? You want patience? Get involved with the kids. They'll teach you patience really quick. You know? You sit in the hallway trying to get them to memorize the books of the Bible. Yeah. But I love it. I'm going to tell you, I got some kids in Awana that can make some of you guys look sad. I'm serious. You know? But you got to get involved. I am so blessed. So much fun. It's exciting. You know? I'm still trying to bear some of that fruit. That patient one just is, it's probably kind of shriveled up and hanging there somewhere. You know? But God wants to produce that fruit in our lives. You got to do what God says. I don't know what he's telling you to do. Do what he says. Just don't sit there. Do what he says. And then I like this one. Love like Jesus loves. Because he went on. Look at verse 12. You know, it's 10, 11, 12. Look at 12. This commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. It'd be pretty simple if God says love one another. Right? Just love everybody. That's easy. I can love them, but anybody ever say something? I can love them, but I don't have to like them, right? Anybody ever say anything like that? You think Jesus would say that? You think Jesus would say, everybody, but you know, there's some people I don't like. You know, Pilate, you know, maybe that guard that whipped me. You think Jesus would say something like that? No, thank you. No. Jesus wouldn't say, it says love. Why don't you circle that, underline it, do something with it. As I have loved you. That puts a standard there. Now, I don't know about you. That standard's like here, and my love is somewhere down here. Anybody else in that one? You know, that love Jesus loved. Mercy, grace, forgiveness, compassion. Anybody? You know, that's that love Jesus had. You know, and that's the standard Jesus set for us. You know, and that's that striving we need to do. And that's where we need to be working towards and looking for. See, and Jesus raised that standard for us. He didn't give us a long list of, here's things to do. Do this, and do this, and do this. You know. He didn't even list. Did he list the Ten Commandments? Did he? Did he take the 613 laws that the Jews created to help God out? Let me ask you this one. Did he take the law you created to help him out? You know, when they treat me better, I'm working on this relationship series I'm working on. And I can't believe some of the post things I've been able to find. If I loved you with me, would that be okay? No. Jesus said, love them like he loves me. Whoa. I mean, I did. I downloaded these. Somebody's going to have to help me. I wanted to Pinterest stuff or tweet some. I don't know. I don't know how to do this. I'm going to need some help because I wanted to tweet out every week one of these little pictures I gathered off. So somebody's going to have to help me to figure out how to do that tweet or said Pinterest it or something like that. And so, you know what I'm good at? Email, okay? A little bit of text messaging, you know? But I'm good at email. But I want to figure out if I'm going to, because you know what? It's easy. Oh, I love everybody. I love you guys. Do I? Do I love you as Jesus loves you? Some of you. I'm kidding, all right? I'm kidding. I really do. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I'm serious. I love you. Oh, but, oh, man. That's standard. Look at this. Greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Do I love you guys that much? Let me pick and choose here. You know, who am I willing to die for? I got my grandson right there, and I got my granddaughter. I got these kids, really. They want me to die for them. Jesus kind of set a high standard, didn't he? If you want to stay connected, you're going to have to do what he says, and you're going to have to love like he loves. Does that make sense? So I want to challenge you this morning. I want you to look in your life. What kind of fruit do you have right now? What kind of fruit do you have in your life? Maybe you're broken like this branch. Maybe you're broken. Maybe you feel fruitless. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe there's some wounds in your life. Because sometimes there hurts, but sometimes there's wounds. Anybody know what I mean? You know, you've been hurt, and you're wounded. And it's okay. And you're wounded. So I want to ask you, you want to bear some fruit? You have some fruit in your life? You may feel like it's dead, that you can't do anything, that your life, you know, you're at the end of your rope. You're tired. You're fed up. You feel like you're just running into a wall and you just can't. Well, I'm going to tell you. Jesus brings life to the dead. And when he does, he produces fruit. So I ask you this morning, what kind of fruit are you producing? What kind of fruit is on your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, long-suffering. What kind of fruit are you producing? Do you feel empty? Do you feel meaningless? Do you feel life doesn't matter? Do you feel there's no hope? I bring you hope today because there's a true vine. Get off this plastic stuff. Get off the fake vine and connect to the true vine who loves you and died for you, that you produce the fruit in your life of love, joy, peace, patience. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words. I thank you for your truths.